This is Ozarks at Large. Earlier this month, we caught a glimpse of artwork created by Michael Albert. Seemingly every color splashed across a canvas. Closer inspection revealed all of those colors were associated with familiar candy wrappers and cereal boxes. Then upon even closer examination, a message could be found. Those wrappers from Snickers, Frosted Flakes, and other products created the preamble of the Declaration of Independence. Albert, who lives in New York City, uses collage to attract our eyes and let us consider the words in perhaps a different way. He's created collages that spell out amendments to the U.S. Constitution and the 23rd Psalm. This summer, he's on a multi-state tour of libraries and museums, and he stopped at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville and public libraries in Springdale, Fayetteville, and Fort Smith to lead collage-making sessions with young people. In between those visits, he came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. I started the conversation with an imagined origin story for his art.
So I have this image of you not wanting to throw away a box and saying, you know what? There's art here. Am I close?
Yes. Yes. I did start getting a little OCD about throwing things away. You know, I think it might have started with junk mail. Mm-hmm. You know, recognizing what a waste of resources junk mail was, and it kind of took off from there.
The collages. Now, of course, the collages using consumer-inspired material, not all that you've done or do, but the ones you were working with the young artists at the Fayetteville Public Library and libraries across 17 states, these take everyday items we see, but then you celebrate grander ideas. Tell me how that came about.
Well, initially, making art was just about trying to express myself through art. And it began with drawing and eventually led into collaging. But the goal has always been the same, was just to make my own art, to kind of forge my own expressions through art. And it evolved into taking things from my everyday life, whether at home or my office, that seemed that they were no longer useful, but it just seemed a shame to just throw them out, and started using them in my work. And the first few years of collaging was a lot of stuff like junk mail and the extra stickers that are left over on a stamp page when you finish using the last stamp, to old and extra photographs we have at home prior to the digital age. Many of us have boxes full of bad and duplicate photos that we don't know what to do with, but we don't throw them out. And then that turned into one day taking a cereal box and just using it in my art, a Frosted Flakes box. And it was kind of my breakthrough moment, I think, because I realized this is an everyday object that we all the things we buy in stores come in these printed cardboard packages, and they're so full of color and brand identity and fun characters. And, you know, it was, we create so much waste in our consumer culture. I realized these boxes were the byproduct of our consumer life. And, and plus I thought it was beautiful.
They are beautiful, and there's so many colors that are involved in these works.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think advertising and marketing people spend their whole lives trying to figure out what colors make us buy their products or attract us, you know, almost like the way flowers attract the bees. they want to attract us to their product. And it's interesting because, you know, humans don't need branding to tell us that an apple is something delicious that we eat. The natural red of the color and the aroma of it is all we need. But with these packaged foods, we need color and branding and characters and verbiage. That's what our consumer culture is all about.
The collage you created with the words of the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. You have the words, but you also have all these advertising images of women, from a Native American woman that's used to, I think, sell butter, to all sorts. And I'm wondering, how long does it take you to visualize exactly what you want us to see in the order that you place them in the collage?
Well, something like that. My idea to create a collage of the amendments came from having a CD I had of a reading of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and all the amendments. And I do a lot of driving, traveling around to all these different libraries and museums and schools. So I've taken to listen to, while I'm not listening to NPR, I listen to a lot of audiobooks. And so I had this CD of a reading of the Declaration of Independence. And I think only by listening to it being read and listening to it over and over again do you really start to appreciate the language. And then I had the idea that the 19th Amendment would be an amazing subject. First of all, I'm married and I also have three daughters.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of females going on in my house. And I just thought, well, this is a great excuse for me to look through every package that I have and that's out there and find every female I can. And that would be a cool idea to surround the words to the 19th Amendment with that. I've also done the 13th Amendment, where I collected every African-American image and surrounded the words to the 13th Amendment.
You love language because you love puns, according to your website. Surrealism, but spelled like a cereal. Surrealism.
Yes.
And there's some others there.
Well, I love language. I actually, besides making art, I write a lot of poetry. And for me, every scrap of paper is an opportunity to write a poem. And I always think, you know, rather, again, I guess it's tied in with this not wanting to waste materials, coupled with my interest to and desire to create. Any scrap of paper that you might otherwise throw into the recycle bin, I'll fold it in half and write poems on either side. And I, you know, play this little game that any scrap of paper I have could possibly be the greatest thing I ever do in my life.
Finally, you were a business major at NYU, right?
Yes.
So when you entered NYU, you didn't see this at the other end, I bet.
Oh, no. No, I mean, I studied business because I really just imagined that that was a very open-ended subject, that I could go into, there's so many aspects of business you could go into, and I thought it would be useful. And my family actually had a family business. So I wasn't that necessarily thinking of going into the family business, but I wanted to be prepared to assist if necessary. And when you study business, you don't get to learn about art or music or classic literature. But I think all of us learn about things that we're interested in separate from our schooling and from our jobs. And some people are incredible experts on subjects that have nothing to do with what they do to make a living. So art was one of those things I just started learning about on my own. It was a good way to get my mind off of my studies. When you're studying
right.
marketing and management and finance and economics and accounting and all that stuff, you know, you need a break from that. And so I started reading books that were interesting to me. I started listening to music that I liked. And then going to school at NYU, I was in New York City, so there were so many museums you can go to. The Metropolitan Museum of Art was really my favorite because it's just got art from all periods of history. And also at the time, it was free to go to. I could just go in there for an hour or a couple of hours, and you know, it was a suggested donation, so I could give them 10 cents or a quarter and walk around for a couple of hours and see some of the great masterpieces of the world. And I think, for me, seeing stuff like that made me think, well, first it made me think that it's an incredible life accomplishment to create anything that could be housed in a place like that, you know, that people have decided is worth displaying and people from all over the world come to look at and find interesting and find beautiful. And I just thought, even though I was studying business, which is essentially learning how to make money, you know, buying and selling things, that creating something that could be considered good enough to house in the museum, like the Metropolitan Museum, was almost a greater accomplishment. And being in college, I was ready to start working hard to accomplish something. You know, I don't think anybody starts out saying that, oh, I'd just like to do some mediocre thing that's meaningless. You know, maybe people end up doing something that they don't necessarily isn't their passion. But I really wanted to do something great, and I still do. And I've been making art now for 30 years, and I don't know if anything I've created is truly great, but art has kept my interest. And I think one of the things about it, maybe the most important thing about it, is that it's enjoyable to do. It's relaxing. It's a therapy. And I feel productive as a human when I spend my time and energy making art. And so that's why I keep doing it.
Thanks for coming in. Safe travels the rest of your tour, and let us know when you're coming back.
Will do. Thank you.
Michael Albert lives in New York City, and he was in Northwest Arkansas in the Arkansas River Valley earlier this month, leading collage-making sessions at libraries and museums. You should see examples of his work at michaelalbert.com.